If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings and the love of the Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is the return home. Are you really ascending? Let's start with a nice meditation. So just make yourself comfortable and just be aware of your inner space, the atoms, the vibrations that fill your mind, your hands, your torso, all parts of you. Feel the vitality. Feel the energy cascading through your veins, your atoms, your subatomic particles. That field of ions that you think is your body. And know that God is. God is. And take that as a mantra if you like. And breathe in as you say God in your mind. And as you exhale, say in your mind, is. Deep breath. God. And just be aware that that presence is the one in which you live at all times, no matter what's happening, no matter where you are, no matter what you seem to be doing or thinking or plotting, God is. And all is well. So, are we really ascending? Well, let me ask you a few questions. What does that term ascending or ascension mean to you? Are you looking for a manifestation in the clouds to appear? Your body to turn into blazing light and vanish? Are you waiting for spaceships to come and beam you up? Are you thinking of walking into another dimension? Have you ever really contemplated the topic of ascension at all? Or do you simply listen to channels or read New Age books and take the words of others as your source of information? Manification over many would-be bears of light. They seem to be so afraid of being wrong that they listen to anyone who sets themselves up as an authority on the subject. The thing is, we need to check out all information for ourselves. Well, how do you check out information for yourself? Well, mainly, you work the information to see if it works for you. Information that works for you sets you free. It sets you free from illusion, superstition, glamour, fear, and bondage. So whatever you are taking on board as your reality, if it's not freeing you from illusion, superstition, glamour, fear, and bondage, you might want to choose again. Truth always sets you free. Truth frees you from worry and fear. That's why perfect love casts out all fear. Because perfect love is God. And when God is, and that is the presence in which you dwell, fear is impossible. Worry doesn't even, you know, show up as a blip on your mental computer screen. Truth releases your true nature, which is love itself. So, again, when you are working a work that works for you, there's that loving that just comes in the wake of truth. So you yourself, excuse me, are made up of the warp and woof of love. God is love, and you are made entirely of Godness. You're made of love and nothing else. There's nothing else in there. You know, when it's working for you, you have an ability to more consistently bring yourself present into the vibration of loving, that vibration that manifests as joy and peace. And these are the three major indicators that whatever you're doing or reading or studying or believing is working for you. You have an increase of love and joy and peace. So when you're in those states, of course, you have a great sense of freedom. So you could say that you know something only when it has become your consistent expression and way of living. You can't say you know something rhetorically. We can see what you know by what you do. That's really obvious to anyone. So to really love, you learn to live the opposite, the absolute polar opposite to the way the ego-based mind chooses to live. Your values differ from those of the ego-projected world, and you hold yourself to a higher standard of behavior, speech, expression, and integrity, and excellence. You know, just because these lower realms are, quote, quote, Maya, doesn't mean they don't have a temporary reality that's experienced that we really need to learn to cooperate with and work with. So it has a relative temporary truth to it, or appearance of truth to it, this world of, quote, quote, illusion or Maya, but that doesn't mean you can diss it. You still have to work it. We are here until we're not. And we really need to handle and be involved in participating in our lives until the reality changes and we're not here anymore. But for all of us who teach ascension, and I include myself in here, we're still here. So when I say we're here until we're not, and we do what we do until we don't, and in the meantime, let's be here now, I think that's really practical direction. So truth reveals your divinity. Truth always reveals your divinity. That is, I think, so very important. Truth always reveals your divinity. So, again, the whole concept of ascension has become very, very glamorized in the New Age. I was trying to trace the very concept and idea of ascension, and I found it symbolically represented in stories and myths and legends and depicted in artwork in China, Persia, India, but here in the West, primarily, it's a Christian concept that was largely influenced by the biblical stories of Enoch, who was caught up with God and didn't see death, Elijah, who ascended in a flaming chariot, and the word chariot in Hebrew is Merkabah, and Jesus, who was caught up in a cloud that spoke. So we can assume that was a cloud ship. And that those three particular forms of moving from here to another level is really, really what we're going with as we talk about ascension. For the past 20 years in particular, there's been a great deal of teaching about ascension. Many, including myself, have added specific techniques, requirements, DNA activations, mantras, even dietary guidelines and colors that are more efficacious to wear, you know, higher vibration, so-called. And even specific meditations and breathing techniques. There's been a lot of stuff out there of do this, do that, do this, do that. Most likely, many of us, if not all of us listening, have at various points in our life tried many of these approaches. Then there was the idea of the three waves of ascension, an idea that caught on with many Earth-based volunteers. And this was influenced strongly by channeling that came from supposedly the Ashtar Command. Now, I'm not saying that's not true, but I believe what we have to look at here is levels of acceptability. What can we accept in our consciousness right now that could serve as like a bridge through which we can transcend into higher states of understanding. So that which was given in the earlier channeled material of the Ashtar Command now can be languaged in a much more scientific and actual state of God realization, which is what I like to focus on with my shows, is not the phenomena, but moving beyond the phenomenal universes into the self, which is in the eternal, because that's the true freedom. That's the true ascension. That's the true liberation. It's the step out of the storyline entirely and be what we've always been. So with all of this ascension teaching and talk, because we're still here and look much the same except for being 20 years older, many light workers have started wondering, well, are we really ascending? And in a sense, this is good because we're starting to check ourselves, and we're not so quick to accept things just because someone channeled it or someone taught it or somebody wrote a book about it. We're starting to really question, which is great. It's the first thing you have to do when you're starting to discern for yourself your own reality as opposed to what has been added into the conditioned belief systems. Even, you know, around the New Age, we're getting really conditioned into certain fabrications of reality. And as long as we keep adhering to the fabrications, we're not free. We're not stepping free. We're not really ascending. We're just getting back in the storyline again. So I can remember back in 94, 95, I forget which now, we were convinced we would all be ascending that very Easter. And many of us purchased white ascension outfits for the occasion. I remember we spent Easter Day meditating and in a state of preparation for the big event. And so the day, you know, came and went, and another excuse was given through the channels, and another date was set, and this time it was the year 2000. That came and went, and then was the year 2001, and then 2006, and now it's pushed to 2012, and some are already looking ahead to 2013, 2022, 2025. So we keep pushing in front of us the goal instead of embracing and embodying it now. Ascension has nothing to do with time. That's departing time. So as long as you're putting a time out there, kind of like a carrot before the donkey, you keep moving towards that time and you don't embrace of the isness that's present right now. So also, you know, you see in some communities of faith, you see the ascension is called the rapture. And it's associated with the return of Christ. So you have several different variations on this major theme, but if you look at them carefully, they all mean the same thing. Somebody is waiting for something outside of themselves to come and do something that's going to make it all different or better or save us somehow. So are we really ascending? Or are we suffering from some collective delusion? Well, I think the truth is far more simple than we've been led to believe. For in highest truth, we're home in God right now. We've simply forgotten this fact and have imagined otherwise. So the truth is, there is no life apart from God, and no life outside of heaven. Think about that. There's no life outside of heaven. We remain as God created us. We're ever one with God. You know, there's no possibility for any kind of wiggle room for separation to enter here. That's the grand illusion. That's the grand fiction. That's the big lie. You know, the lie of lies is, that you've separated from God. And so with God, we are eternally in heaven. We're eternally home. So we have imagined separation, a departure from heaven that has never taken place. And we but travel in dream while remaining safely at home. You know, I do a lot of shows on soul travel, but we actually need to erase the whole concept that we have of travel and begin to think of it more as awareness expansion. Awareness expansion, because it's like concentric rings. You expand your awareness to include more and more and more and more, and you keep breaking that ring past knot as you extend beyond your believed and assumed limitation to embrace it more and more and more and more until you're in the allness of the all that is. And that is the big home with the big capital H. So how do we keep doing this imagined separation? Well, according to the Course in Miracles, into eternality, where all is one, crept a tiny, insane thought at which we forgot, we the collective sonship of God, forgot to laugh. And voila, the world of separated mind arose just as instantly. It was also corrected and restored. So the moment the insane thought arose, it was immediately replaced with truth. But the ego kind of grabbed a bit in its mouth and went running off into a perception of separation, while our spirit self remained home at one with God. That's the Atma, the Paramatma, the divine self. But the ego mind fell in love with its reflection, just like the story of Narcissus. So, like Narcissus, the ego mind believes in the world of separation and holds it firmly solidified through this belief. But we, the spirit self that we are, we're not the ego, remember. We're not the mind. We're not the belief. We're not the thought system. We're the spirit. We're the Atma. And we never left home. So we're watching this little doodad down in time and space with a great deal of enjoyment, because the whole show is kind of fun. It's like watching a movie. And we're the witness. We're quite detached from the whole thing. It doesn't really matter to us. But the ego mind, and when we associate with ego mind, we find ourselves in hell. Because hell is a perception of being separate from the all that is. To be disenfranchised from wholeness is hell. And that's what the ego sacrifices when it chooses to bond with that world of illusion. So the Holy Spirit, however, is the voice of truth calling within our mind to awaken and remember to who we've always been and where we reside forever. So there's really no need to ascend. You know, when you look at it in this context, where are you going to ascend to? Nor is there any need to be beamed up in a spaceship, or to have three ways of ascension, or even a rapture. These are all stories fabricated out of the ego mind's belief that we're not home and not one with God right now. See how that is? The storylines, the legends, the mythologies, all of this has been based on the separated mind. In the unified mind of the unified field, or what we call Christ or Buddha consciousness, that higher consciousness, that Atmic or soul awareness, has no need for the storyline. So if this mass hysteria we call life were the real world, then God would indeed be cruel. For no truly loving creator would put their beloved creations through this torment as the price of salvation and still be love itself. And the truth is, we're all saved because the true spirit self was never lost. How can God lose God's self? How can that which is ever one with God in perfect love and holiness ever be separated except in a great hallucination, a great fiction? So your true identity has never been lost. Do you know, beloved, you can never lose what is true. You can only lose the illusion. Think about that. Most of our fears in this world revolve around things that we don't want to lose. But if it's true, you can't lose it. Impossible. You can't lose salvation. You can't lose heaven. You can't lose God. You can't lose the ascended state. You can't lose home. You can distract yourself and lose the conscious awareness of it, sure. So the Course in Miracles speaks about the atonement being the at-one-ment, the choice to remember our wholeness. So we can return to the atonement. We can return to the thought of our at-one-ment at any point. That's always a choice that can be made. Anytime our fearful mind suggests otherwise, we can choose to say, I'm ever one with God. Or quite simply, God is. Now that is the mantra to bring forward when you feel frightened or worried or concerned, or, you know, the vivid out-picturing of the gerbil cage drama here gets too intense. Just kick back, take a deep breath, and go, God is. And just feel that presence come present right into your awareness. The simplest technique you could ever be given. So what is required of each one of us is merely the recognition. Because not every mind has awakened to the truth. So if you could think of anyone being lost, they're simply the people who have yet not awakened to the truth of who and what they are forever. And that's what causes all of this negative out-picturing, is really the fitful behaviors of people who are totally asleep and acting out of a very, very fearful dream set, mindset that they're enacting in their dream. So stay out of their way, because they may not be willing to be awakened by your light at this point. So, you know, when a soul, a mind is ready to hear the truth, it cannot be missed. That truth will find a way to enter that mind. So you don't have to be concerned about people who are so vividly caught up in their dream enactment of nightmarish scenarios that they want to drag you into them. You can work with them by maintaining your own illumined state. That is the highest form of service, is to move into the illumined state of consciousness and to allow that to be radiated in concentric circles throughout the universe, because it does. Every true thought is instantly communicated throughout all of the universes. That's how powerful your mind is when it's focused in divine awareness. It doesn't have a great deal of power when it's functioning out of the ego. Thank God. You don't really have power until you're pure love. Love is real power. That which most people call power is simply ego-driven momentums of the bio, psychic, and physical fields. But it's not power at all. It's aggression, which is not power. And aggression is simply another form of fear. So, fear is false evidence appearing real, so you don't have to be threatened by aggression. You don't have to be intimidated by those fearful thoughts that arise in your mind. All you need to do is remind yourself, God is. And I am that. Tat Tuam Asi. I am that also. So, there is in many people the preference to continue spinning out stories of becoming rather than to take the responsibility of being who they truly are. They want to dream on. So just as every fruit has its time to ripen and every flower has its time to blossom, leave people to their own divine call to awaken. As I said before, not everyone can awaken at the same time on the planet because the whole dream field would totally dissolve and disappear. And we need this school of consciousness for the matriculation and education of consciousness streams that we call souls. We need this. It's a school of consciousness. It's an experiential realm where we can taste and sample separation and differentiation and duality and polarity. So it has a purpose, even though it's an illusion. It's serving a good, it's serving a good purpose. But we don't have to keep spinning the stories on ourselves if we want to awaken. So these fabrications will hold the appearance of a separated world in place for those ego minds that prefer fiction to truth and illusion to reality. And you know what? That's just cool with spirit. Spirit has no sense of urgency whatsoever. So anytime you feel a sense of pressure and urgency, that's your karma driving you. That's your ego mind. That's not spirit. Because spirit is totally secure, totally free, totally okay with everything. Spirit has no agenda. It can take billions of gazillions of years more and allow you to play in the illusions of becomingness as long as you want. And there's still nothing lost. Nothing is in jeopardy. We still remain as God created us in perfect holiness and peace. Time is an illusion. Space is an illusion. Distance is an illusion. In Godness, there's only here, only now. And in that is the fullness of everything. We really can't talk about it a great deal because until you're in those stages, you don't really get a concept of what they're like. So truth dawns upon every mind that truly intends to see. And I say intend because intention always precedes manifestation. So only you can deprive yourself temporarily from experiencing wholeness. You know, it's up to each person to choose between ego or Holy Spirit. And truly speaking, those are the only choices that are available. So one is illusion and one is the truth, and you are free to choose whichever you would have as your experiential reality. And perhaps at this moment we could look at where are you? Where do you live? There's a few interesting ways you can find out where you're living. let's say, for example, the astral plane. The astral plane is the plane of imagination. Okay? So when you, you're sitting and all of a sudden you imagine something happening. Let's say you imagine an accident or something and then you scare yourself. You think, oh my gosh, that was just my mind. That was just your astral imagination. And that's another time when you take a deep breath and you remind yourself, God is. I'm not my imagination. Sometimes New Age people will get afraid of their imagination, and they're afraid of their thoughts, that they're going to manifest what they're afraid of. As I said before, the ego mind, the lower level, has really no power. You have very, very little power, far less power than you think you have when you're in the lower states of consciousness. And this is good. This is a good thing. We have kind of like a protection around our ignorance until we're capable of really carrying real power. And then, of course, you really have to watch everything you say, think, and do when you're a high-level initiate. But the average person has very little power. They don't have enough sustaining force behind their imaginations and their thoughts to really manifest anything except confusion for themselves. So the astral plane is also the plane of fantasy and ever-morphing forms, shapes, and colors, and imagery. So here in the astral plane, the bear turns into the tiger, and the tiger turns into the child, and the child turns into a red balloon, and on and on and on. Things are constantly fluctuating into their imagery. And one finds in the astral plane one's favorite monsters, one's favorite Star Wars scenarios, your spaceships, your demons, your angels. All of that is part of the astral plane of imagination. Your true home is not an astral spaceship appearing in time, space, and limitation. You can have an experience in that level because there's many astral planets, astral worlds, astral dimensions, and you can embody and cycle back into those lower planes, but that's not liberation, that's not mukti, that's not self-realization. That's going back into an astral illusion field, which, you know, you're allowed to do that if that's what you want to do. But this show is about waking up and returning to Christ consciousness and being aware that we are a Christed anointed being, made in the image and likeness of God. That's what this show is about. So, again, there's another level. There's a causal level where sometimes we hang out, and this is the plane of emotions, the plane of deep feelings and sentiments and sentimentalities and attachments, and the plane also of strong devotion to our chosen heroes and all of the stuff that we see in Hollywood with the worshiping of idols. People we set up on the pedestal. But it's all emotion-driven ideals and idealisms. And again, your home is not your ever-changing emotional tapestry. It's not your ideals. That's not home. You really can't have any fulfillment when you're in the emotional realm because there's too much fear, because it's very, very unstable. The emotions change every moment. You could see a person's astral body, it's constantly changing colors. How can that be your home if it's so unpredictable? Then you have the mental plane, which is your thought life, your conditioned thoughts, beliefs, your concepts, your theories, your worries, concerns, concepts, the whole content of your mind is conditioned thought. And your home is not your mind or your concepts or your beliefs or your thinking. And I think probably more than anything else, it's difficult for us to separate ourselves from what we think. 9 times out of 10, most of us identify with our thoughts. So when you can raise up your vibration beyond the level of the mental plane into the clarity of soul, you can see quite clearly, I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my emotion. I'm not my imagination. Wow. And then there's one higher plane above the mental, which is like the buffer zone between the lower realms of illusion and the true realms of the divine state. And it's that band of unconsciousness that we call the etheric or the void. And in that level of unconsciousness, you have those impulses and obsessions and compulsions and superstitions and sometimes symbolic imagery that will come up. But by and large, it's dark. And it's that feeling you get when you feel like sometimes you're falling into your body when you wake up, just when you wake up in the morning. Sometimes you have a feeling like you're falling. That's the etheric realm when you go through that. It's also a feeling sometimes of dizziness. You'll feel yourself turn inside, and that's the etheric also. And your home, beloved, is not the void of nothingness. You are not a nothingness. You are not a void. So that can't be your home either. So your home is expansion. Your home is awareness and clarity. Your home is joy, love, peace. Those are the qualities of soul, the true self, which lies just in a golden effulgence beyond that realm of the unconscious. So above that soul level, or Satchkhand, the realm of truth, you begin to move into the inaccessible God realm. They're only inaccessible in the sense that you can't get there through your mind or your imagination or your emotions or your void or anything less than your pure, loving divinity. And in that state, you have no otherness. There is no separation. You're back in the oneness. The full that remains ever full. That which is. There's a beautiful Sanskrit prayer that I'll chant that describes that state and also brings you into great joy. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamugachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishthe Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. And it's that whole idea of God being full. And from that fullness, everything comes. And even though everything is made of the fullness remains. And that's who we are. We're the fullness, the allness. A wholeness. So you reside all the time in all of those realms that I mentioned. This is what is so interesting. For example, on Earth, in the physical enchilada here, is the only place that we can be multidimensionally present through the full electromagnetic and beyond spectrum of light, color, sound, densification. We're totally present here. That's why Earth is the springboard to higher consciousness and why it requires an Earth embodied essence to ascend, transcend, move back into the higher divine realms. That's why at any point we can't diss our life here on the Earth. We can't diss the third dimension. We can't diss the physicality of our body. We have to embrace of the whole thing because within every cell is universe, within universe, within universe. Within every strand of the DNA is the holographic imprint of the whole continuum of existence. And everything that exists is in you, as you, part of you, and is separated only by your choice of coming into a resonant harmonic with that information or not. That's all. You come into a harmonic resonance with a particular understanding, mindset, revelation, whatever, and it becomes visible to you. But until you match the internal state of consciousness, you will not have the external experiencing of it. So, could I say quite succinctly that the return home occurs when the inner self that you are and the outer manifestation that you call your life merge and become one? Yes. When the inner becomes the outer, and the outer becomes the inner, which recognizes the inner, you are home. That is what we call ascension, or transcending in soul awareness into higher realization. So the predominant sense of truth when you've entered into it is a sense of tremendous expansion. You don't feel yourself end anywhere. You become the cosmos. You become the universe. And there's a pristine clarity. There's like absolutely nothing that you can't know when you're in the state of soul awareness, or soul expansion. You just move yourself to an area and you look at it very without any kind of pushing. You just become aware of it. And it reveals the heart of its essence to you. That's why these rishis have such vast knowledge, because you have earned, when you're pure love and pure divinity, in your manifestation, in your wavelengths, nothing is closed to you. But when you're in the ego state, you absolutely cannot get into those higher states of consciousness. Egos are not allowed. No admittance to ego structures, ego mind. That's why you can never understand God with your mind. You got to stop reading books at some point and move into the self. Just move into that energy field that you see as a darkness when you close your eyes. You'd be surprised if you hang out in there long enough with just loving present, not trying to get something or see something or make something happen. Just hang out in that inner space and watch and see what appears, or not. Maybe nothing will appear. Maybe you'll dissolve into ananda, into pure bliss beyond thought. That's even better. But until you spend time to hang out in that vastness within you, that purnamidam, that purnamidam, until you hang out in that fullness, you won't have that experience of it for yourself. So all these realms and states of consciousness, all the dimensions, everything resides in the space that you occupy right now. Right now. It's all inside you. It's all available. Nobody's telling you you can't look at it. If you can see it, you have a right to see it. If you can know it, you have a right to know it. So whatever you are, God is, and God resides in every quark, every subatomic particle of existence, and beyond anything that we can even begin to imagine or measure. So the only determining factor that decides where we are is our choice of focus of awareness. So you could say that our ascension factor is 100% under our own individual control and volition. There is no one depriving you of being an ascended master right now. You already are an ascended master in the highest levels. You're everything in every level. Yeah, if you've ever been it in time and space, that means you are it in the eternal. You're all of that and more. Nothing is limiting you. You're much more than a commander with the Ashtar command. Don't hang your whole identity on that. Don't hang your whole identity on the concepts of a spaceship or life on another planet. You came from life on another planet in a spaceship to get here. Don't you want to go go beyond where you were? I'm sure you, if you really think about it, you don't want to return to the same thing with no progression, with no expansion. I mean, what's the point? So even those who are ascended masters are ascending to a higher level of ascended frequency of consciousness. So we all have a next level that is standing right there, beckoning from within us to embrace of it. So I think these are happy things to contemplate, because it takes us out of the realm of becoming into embracing now. We don't have to wait for an arbitrary date like October, December, whatever it is, 2012. We don't have to wait for the ships or the fleets to land. And we don't have to wait for the governments to disclose the reality of UFOs. Hello, all the governments know the reality of UFOs. Why aren't they telling us? Because they're control freaks. They can't control us. They can't control the spaceships. They know about it. So it's always a grassroots movement. It's always the people who take the initiative to really know these things and share the information and enlighten themselves. So you can release the whole attachment to having the government do something different. Government is made of politicians, and government is the result of politicians acting politically. What does that have to do with you and me? Render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and render unto God that which belongs to God. And that which belongs to God is you and who you are and what you are. You are God. You are divine. Show me any part of your being that is not divine. Every single quirk of your existence is pure love and pure divinity. It is nothing less than that. It is nothing less than that, ever. So, eventually we learn to choose in concert with the divine spirit of love and clarity within us. So that each instance in which we find ourselves and we have a decision that has to be made, we ask ourselves, what is the most loving response possible in this situation? And that's the one we do. A loving response is always the one in which nobody loses. Everybody wins. Everybody's benefited. It's to the highest good of all concerned. Then you know it's a loving response. Then you know you're not acting out of the ego's agenda. It's very important to be aware that you're not here to critique and tell people information for their own good. Sometimes we want to be do-gooders and, well, I'm just telling you this because I love you and I hate to see you making that mistake. You are making a big mistake when you think it's your duty and job to correct, critique, criticize, and correct another incarnation of God. Hello. So mind your own levels, your own 10 acres. We're not here to fix the world. We're not here to judge the world. We're not here to correct the world. Jesus Christ said it. He said, I have the Son of, the Son of Man did not come to judge the world, but that the world through him might be set free. So we did not come to judge the world, but that the Christ consciousness functioning through us as its instrument can set the world free. And we set the world free by setting ourselves free. We create peace in the world by being peace in the world. You don't fight for peace. You don't picket for peace. You don't march with placards for peace. You embody the frequency vibration of peace. And just like everything else is shared with the sonship, you share with the whole world that peace in which you live consistently. So we learn to choose the loving, and we learn to choose the peace of God. And actually looked at another way, true ascension is living in the vibration of loving. It's nothing more than that. Loving is the frequency of ascending. It's one and the same thing. You can say loving, you can say ascending. It's one and the same thing. So you are ascending to the degree that you are loving. And loving is the golden key that unlocks the kingdom of heaven. It unlocks the power. It unlocks the glory. It unlocks the Christ consciousness that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory within you. So Christ within us, our hope of glory. Christ is the state of anointed awareness of its eternal oneness with the Father. So are you living your loving? Are you living love? Then you are ascending. So living in love is another way of experiencing heaven now. Home, that home we all seem to seek to return to, is generally associated with heaven. So ascension is another metaphor for our returning home, just as rapture is another metaphor for returning to heaven and being united with Christ. So again, you have ascension, home, heaven, rapture, union with Christ. All one and the same thing. And they all mean that we have chosen to live in divine loving relationship with all. No exceptions. So when the inner spirit and the outer expression merge as one, loving, when they merge as one loving, you are home. So your loving is your shelter. Your loving is your security, your protection, your comfort. Your loving is your heaven and your safe space. Your loving presence is home. Your loving is your fulfillment, your wholeness. Your loving is your divinity expressing. And you know what? Your loving works miracles. That's the miracle worker. That's the miracle healer. That's the miracle person who can resurrect the dead. That's the one who can do all things. And that loving is immortal. That is your God self. So your loving is your power. And your loving, there's nothing your loving cannot do. Nothing is impossible when you are centered in your loving. So your loving is the Christ principle, the very Holy Spirit living and expressing through you. You can think of yourself as the house or your body, actually not you, but your body is the house of God. You're the divine presence that dwells in the body as the spirit of wholeness. That's you. God lives in you. God is love. So the proof that God lives in you is, again, your loving. So God, love, truth are all one and the same. So to live in God is to live in truth. And you are enlightened, and you are ascended, and you are home. So home is here and now, just as God is here and now. And home is wherever God is. And God is everywhere present. So your awareness of the presence of God is a choice. Just like loving awareness, it's a choice of focus. And every choice of loving awareness is ascending. So this is our whole focus as we talk about ascension. Let's just begin to think of it in terms of the vibrational frequency that we call loving. And let everything else go, because nothing else actually matters. It just doesn't matter. So I hope this has been a show that's brought some greater clarity and greater inspiration for all of us. I, too, listen to these shows over and over, and they always give me greater insight myself. So I hope they are a blessing to you as well. Let's go out chanting you, and God willing, next week I will be with you again. Deep breath. Is well. Adonai.